NBC Sports. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC and brought to you by the Kensington Assisted Living on Baltimore Street in Cumberland and the Country House, specializing in Alzheimer's care on Cumberland Street in downtown Cumberland. Saturday Morning Quarterback hosts are Roxy Oney and Dr. Jim Zamias and the WCBC sports team with lots of information about the week in sports.
Good morning, Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC. This is Jim Zamias along with Roxy Oney, Mike Carley, and Garrett Egan. Brad Reed and Tony Orndorff will join us from the road at 9:30 this morning. They're on their way to Williamstown, West Virginia. And right now, let's go to a boatload of scores from last night. Mike Carley, take it away.
You listeners, please be patient. Here we go. On 1270 AM WCBC last night, Allegheny 49, Kaiser 14. In overtime, Mountain Ridge 21, Northern 20, Hampshire 45, Berkeley Springs 7, Tucker County 62, Southern 12, Moorfield 33, East Hardy 7, Petersburg 47, Greenbrier West 32, Cambridge South Dorchester 55, Snow Hill nothing, Bohemia Manor 25, Havre de Grace 22, Roan County 55, Logan 6, North Hagerstown 28, Brunswick 24, Boonesboro 54, Southern from Anne Arundel County 22, Tussie Mountain 20, Clear Spring 13, Catoctin 43, Smithsburg nothing, Seed School 57, Hancock 8, Perryville 28, Falston 13. Today on Classic Hits 107, 12 o'clock airtime with the pregame, a 1 o'clock kickoff. Frankfurt is at Williamstown. And also today on 1270 AM, 2 o'clock pregame airtime, 3 o'clock kickoff, East World Inquiry at Fort Hill. In Major League Baseball last night in the National League Series, the Mets 12, the Dodgers 6. In the American League Series, the Yankees 8, the Cleveland Guardians 6. And today in college football, Notre Dame is at Georgia Tech at 3:30, USC at Maryland at 4, and Kansas State is at WVU at 7:30.
I feel like I'm listening to KYW 1060 in Philly. Sports on the quarter hour. I don't know what they do now. I think they've changed that. But very good, Michael. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. Rock, you get first dibs on your fascinating score. We might even let you do two if you want.
Can I do two?
You can.
Well, first of all, the Mountain Ridge Northern game. I have to cite that. 21-20 in overtime, and reading the account of that game, that must have been a real barn burner from beginning to end. And congratulations to both teams for really putting it all out there the entire game from what we read. 21-20, Mountain Ridge really needed that win.
By the way, you mentioned barn burner. Last night, for some reason, on Turner Classic Movies, they had Birth of a Nation on.
I saw that.
Wow.
Got four stars.
Okay, all right, enough of that. Keep going.
Well, I had to jump on Cambridge South Dorchester. Not that I pretend to know a lot about them, but potentially could be an opponent in the playoffs in 1A for somebody local. They just demolished Snow Hill 55-0.
All right. Garrett, what scores would you like to talk about?
Believe it or not, I'm going to go with Tussie Mountain over Clear Spring. Not Clear Springs, Clear Spring. the reason being, Clear Spring coming into this week, I believe, is ranked second in the 1A West rankings behind Fort Hill, and for years Clear Spring has been kind of the pincushion of local schools. And this year they're having a very good season, potentially could host a playoff game, but obviously there's still more games to be played. This was one of them. They lose to Tussie Mountain, which is deep in the heart of western Pennsylvania or middle Pennsylvania. They lose 20-13. The other score, Rock mentioned Mountain Ridge and Northern. We expected that maybe to be a close game. I don't think we expected it to go to overtime. But like we've talked about, it seems like in our local area, you have Fort Hill, you have Frankfort, and then there's kind of a drop-off, and you have this pack of teams that are good by their own standards, but when they get together and play each other, it's going to be a close affair, and that's what we had last night with Mountain Ridge and Northern.
All right, Mike?
I'm going to go with Hampshire 45, Berkeley Springs 7, because I'm going to ask you guys, I picked them this week, but I'm still trying to figure out what kind of team Hampshire has, because they're almost like wishy-washy up and down. But, I mean, I knew Berkeley Springs didn't have much, so that's why I took Hampshire, but they just keep question
marks. Are they 5-3 now?
I believe, yeah, that is their fifth win.
5-3, okay.
The funny thing about Hampshire in this matchup, Berkeley Springs, and that does have an S on it, they have lost a lot of games, but even in losses, they've put up about 20 points. So the fact that Hampshire put up 45 and held them to 7, it seems like Hampshire is kind of on an upswing. Now, obviously, this is a lopsided affair, and Hampshire was a heavy favorite. But the fact that Berkeley Springs only put up 7 when usually they average about 20, 21 points is another positive for the Trojans.
So you say Hampshire was 5-3?
Yeah,
I think the three losses they have, I picked them that
week. Well, they destroy all our percentages. All right, I include a lot of scores about future playoff opponents. Roane County 55, Logan 6. We've been so focused on Frankfort-Williamstown. Roane County's number 2 in Double A, and they're still unbeaten. So that's why I threw that in there. I imagine down the road we'll talk about them more. North Hagerstown over Brunswick. Brunswick, a team that was high in 1A, that's going to knock them back. Boonesboro right now has more points than Fort Hill. So what the thought here is, if Fort Hill's not 1 or 2 in 1A, they would have a road game for the semifinals. I don't think going to Boonesboro would be any problem. Cambridge, South Dorchester, you know, would be something else.
Fort Hill has Smithsburg next week, right?
And then Allegheny.
And Catoctin smoked them 43-0.
Yeah. I have Bohemian Manor, Havre de Grace. Havre de Grace was up there, but now they've fallen back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I have Perrysville 28, Falston 13. Perrysville's up there too, but either they or Cambridge, South Dorchester will come out of the East. So we'll just see how that goes. But at any rate, looking ahead, and it is that time of year now, we're down to our last two regular season games after this weekend.
Unbelievable how fast it goes.
Yeah, so those are our scores, and good analysis by everybody. And your calls are welcome, folks, 301-722-8255. It might be easier to do those calls in the first half hour. I'm not sure we're going to have two phone lines going at once Brad and Tony call in. That might be a little tricky. So if you want to call, do it before 9:30, please. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC.
A caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole, and it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for Mom and Dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
Vacation starts with VA. One thing you'll love about your trip to Virginia is that you'll never have to settle for one thing. All that you love is all in one trip. Start yours at virginia.org.
This has been Saturday Morning Quarterback. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on 1270 AM, 103.1 FM. Let's check what happened last night in high school sports.
A little Fort Hill music to get us going for this afternoon. And as Mike mentioned, we have a huge game on the FM and a huge one on the AM, and we'll be previewing those. Right now, let's talk about the game the four of us broadcast last night. Allegheny 49, Kaiser 14. Rock, the voice of high school football, what would you like to say about Alco's win?
Well, it was pretty dominating. We commented, Gary picked up on it on the field, and you also commented on it. Kaiser, playing quite a few freshmen
that
were integral to what they were trying to do. And also their size was pretty obvious when you looked, well, obvious to you guys right away. It took me a little bit of time to pick up on it. But not very big at all, which is unusual for Kaiser. They've been known to have some pretty stout young men out there. The impression I left with is that running tack from Allegheny and the offensive line, it's just something to behold. Garrett was just asking Mike, Resch went over 200 yards, Bible went over 100 yards easily, I think. four or five running backs. Resch just continues to not only impress us a lot, but he is just one of those dominant players. And you look at his rushing statistics, and if you only read about it, you're only getting about half the story because of how he carries the football, his vision, and how he likes the contact. But the other thing is he is an outstanding linebacker.
He's everywhere.
He is everywhere. He scrapes down like and gets out of the traffic to get in on the play, and he must be, obviously we don't know the young man, but must be very smart in terms of how he plays that linebacker position.
All right, Mike, what do you want to say about Alco?
I'll go echo what Rock said, just pure domination by the Campers. Their total offense, 528. The defense they gave up to Kaiser, 194. Sebastian Stewart threw a touchdown pass, had two interceptions. So that's a nice key there for Allegheny to come up with. And I just thought that Allegheny played almost a perfect game, except I always bring up 10 penalties for 81 yards. That's the only negative.
That's worth bringing up, Mike. Thank you. We have a call. Good morning. You're on Saturday Morning Quarterback.
Good morning. I just have a basic question about this team that is playing Fort Hill this afternoon.
Sure.
How did they actually get on the schedule? I mean, I'm sure they didn't pick Fort Hill. I mean, how is that, you know, how did that work out?
Well,
anybody have any idea?
My idea would be there's a guy who's been helping local high school schedule for years. He helped me at Bishop Walsh back before 2010. His name's Todd Helmick.
Uh-huh.
And Todd is a Fort Hill grad, a Florida State football player and grad. And Todd is into finding schools, so my guess is Todd is the person who found this school. He's found other schools in the past.
Right. So
that's how you just look and look and look and but that is not your normal.
As far as these is concerned, I mean that's a long trip.
Oh yeah,
I know they don't know anything about Fort Hill or anything. Basically, you know.
Well, they're going to find out at 3 o'clock.
I know.
They are 5.5 hours away, and
right.
They came down here last night. I saw some people on the downtown mall today that were out of towners. I don't know if they were from Rochester, but I saw two different groups.
Right.
So we're looking forward to it, but Helmick has brought, I mean, two of the most memorable games we've done was at Melbourne Central Catholic, where Danny King.
Right, I remember that, yeah.
And then this Wadsworth game last year, I'm still shaking my head that Fort Hill drove 90 yards. They converted fourth down at their 10, and then they went for two and got it. So if today comes anywhere approaching those two games, we're in for a treat.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a good game, but I was just curious, you know, how in the heck they ever got on the schedule, you know, because I know they've never been on the schedule before.
Yeah, Todd Helmick.
I like to think of maybe Todd in an office with a map of the U.S. and darts, and he just throws darts.
Okay, well, thanks, Todd. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for calling and listening.
You're welcome. Bye.
All righty. He's the guru.
Well, he loves high school football. He follows it more closely than probably anybody in our area. And he has help. He's a Fort Hill guy, but he'll help any team that's struggling to fill their schedule.
I mean, you know, our last few years when I was AD at BW, he would help me out. And I said, now, Todd, do you think they'll still have a team next year? Because you're always playing these.
Yeah.
And he said, well, a lot of people want to know if you're still going to have a team next year. But he knows his stuff. And
you know, the other thing he does that should be mentioned, he'll try to get exposure for kids that are worthy of maybe, I shouldn't say worthy, or talented enough to play at the next level, whether it's a small college or beyond that. And he regardless of the school, Todd is a go-to guy for that.
I'm just going to question, is this maybe a two-year contract?
I doubt it.
Okay.
I don't see Fort Hill going to Rochester, New York.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Apparently there's no incentive to bring him here. As in the past, Fort Hill found a way to provide some of what they needed to travel that far, like from Florida. But I don't think that's the case with this team.
All right. Well, I guess, Garrett, when you see Zach today on the field, you could ask if it's a 1 or 2 year deal. I got to believe it's one, but it's a good question, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Oh, my goodness. Todd Helmick.
What a fun guy to talk to.
Well, he gets it done. He knows a lot. You don't always have to agree with him, and that's fine. But knows his stuff and has really helped out. And Fort Hill needs that help in scheduling.
Yeah, and there's no question about that. And you know, the other thing he does, MD Varsity, not everybody
right.
follows that, but he tends to caution people on there who want to get into criticizing individual players and kind of saying, hey, remember, they're high school kids.
Yeah.
Somebody was on there. I hope you don't mind me mentioning this, but it's still sticking in my craw. Somebody was on there last week criticizing a kid. I won't even get into particulars. And he thought it was okay to do it because he wasn't naming the kid. He was only using his number. And I just wanted to choke.
And then they kept going with it. And
yes.
then another person I said then talked about another sub. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
please.
Yeah. I mean, there's 15 and 16-year-old kids. Would you
Good.
Give us a break?
I know. All right, Garrett, would you like to weigh in on Alco's win over Kaiser?
Well, I think it's a tale of two cities. You have Allegheny who, well, both of these teams are young. We mentioned that both teams are playing a lot of freshmen, a lot of underclassmen, but it seems like the way that they are executing with that youth is totally different. You have Kaiser, who is undersized on the line, like Rock mentioned. They just were totally overpowered by, you know, Sully Watkins and Lucas Barenberg and the guys up front on the offensive and defensive line. And then in the backfield, you have a couple kids for Kaiser who, Grayson Lamka, I feel so bad for him because you could see that, you know, he left it all out on the field. He plays very, very hard, runs very, very hard. But because of that undersize, he doesn't have a whole lot of blocking in front of him to open up those holes like Allegheny does and Allegheny did last night. Then you have the Allegheny side of the ball. Guys, they have just been so impressive in wins and in losses. Since the start of this season, we've been able to watch them kind of build to mature week in and week out, both in losses and in wins. You could just kind of feel that they are maturing quickly. They're getting better each week. Other than the penalties and that early fumble, they never really challenged. It didn't feel like they were challenged at all watching and being down on the field. The backfield of Jackson Resch, Rock mentioned, both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. I mean, he packs a punch. In my opinion, he's not only in the conversation for player of the year, I would say right now he's probably the favorite, just how much he provides offensively and defensively.
We might see another candidate today at 3 p.m.
Yes, we will. Yeah. Jabril Daniels will have.
I am not willing to go that far out on the diving board yet.
Well, I will. I mean, I think Jabril Daniels is a terrific player. An offensive threat anytime he carries the football.
He plays defense too.
Yeah, he does, true. And he plays it very, very well.
Well, I think it's those two at the top.
Well, yeah,
I think.
That we can agree on.
Sure.
That we can agree on. The difference, I think, is Resch is playing at linebacker. So he is hitting every play. But Daniels, he's deceiving. He is a very good defensive player.
We're going to see them on the field at the same time in 2 weeks.
Agreed.
We will indeed.
So,
I like Garrett's literature reference. What'd you say, Tale of Two Cities?
Dickens, Rock.
Dickens, next week, maybe we'll get into what? Some John Steinbeck or
maybe some Yeats?
He never heard of Seward's Folly for Alaska, so don't praise him too much.
He never heard of that.
See, you're shocked. Take that.
Real quick before we get to the caller. Also, Aiden McKenzie, Keontae Bible, Sebastian Stewart, he had two defensive interceptions last night. Trevin Cox, so we know him as the kicker for Allegheny. He was playing center field defensively, defending the pass of Kaiser. And then Kane Schweitzer also, who probably doesn't get as much credit as he deserves defensively against Kaiser's passing game. He was very, very impressive.
All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on Saturday Morning Quarterback.
Good morning, guys.
How
morning.
You doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Hey, we're great.
I just got two quick points. One, the East World game is only a one-year deal for Fort Hill.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
The other point is I want to thank you guys for sticking up for what was said on the Western Maryland message boards. I mean, I don't agree with attacking kids. You know, I mean, they are still high school kids. I know in this area that, you know, we hold football to the highest regards, but a lot of people do forget that they just are high school kids.
Yeah, I mean, that's just buffoonery that those guys are doing. That is just so dumb. And I'm glad you agree with us. And anybody that disagrees, you need your head examined.
Yeah, if you disagree, call in. We'd love to take a shot at you because that's just it's so stupid.
And it's not just Fort Hill kids. It's any kid in this area. Like it's ridiculous to take shots at kids, no matter what school they're at or what level they're playing. It's just uncalled for.
Exactly. Yep. Hey, we're glad you listened and glad you called in. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All righty. Mike, do you remember what you wanted to say? It may have faded. You had your hand up a minute ago.
No, I was just going to tell you about it. We had a
Oh, thank you.
It's your eyes and ears over here.
Chris has trained him in signals that I can't figure out.
I'm also a spotter.
You are a spotter. That was great last night. Yes. This is funny. Rock called some ball carrier. He wasn't sure who it was. Well, Mike in the background uttered who he thought it was, so Rock goes, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, it was blah, blah, blah. Well, somebody said it. And in the NFL, and the they have spotters who in your headpiece tell you who's making the tackle or doing the carry.
The old ways, they used to have it on their desk, and the guy would point to who it was. Yeah.
One quick point about Kaiser, and then we'll take a break. If Kaiser gets all the kids out they should get out, they'll be better. You cannot look at that roster last night and think they're getting everybody out. And don't blame it on soccer, because Kaiser has not been a boys' soccer power. But there are kids in the Kaiser area that need to be playing football for them to be successful.
And they, year in and year out, they usually have kids with a lot of grit.
Yeah. So, at any rate, congratulations to Allegheny. Huge win. And now they have a big game next Friday against Northern. We're going to take a timeout. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Quarterback in just a minute.
Caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole, and it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for mom and dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
Folks, you can drive to Eaton Young Galleries, select anything, everything you need for your home in beautiful new furniture, mattress sets in every size, accessories, room rugs, and much more at amazing savings, and take advantage of no interest for up to 6 full years. Today, from 9 till 6 at Eaton Young Galleries, it is indeed their greatest credit offer ever. And there's more. Sensational reductions in every department. Famous Bassett, Universal, Southern Motion, England, Stearns and Foster, best chairs, nothing's held back. See that big Kingsdown bedding ad in today's Times News. Tempur-Pedic bedding's at the lowest price the factory allows. Plus, you can buy it all with no interest for up to 72 months and payments as low as just $41 a month. Ask for details while you shop or use Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Discover, even at reduced prices. Plus, delivery and setup are free. See that ad? Shop it till 6 tonight. Their greatest credit offer ever. No interest for up to 6 full years. Plus, amazing reductions at Eaton Young Galleries on Winchester Road between Cressup Town and the Vale.
Now we're ready to go. And they give it off to Crawford. Crawford from behind is stopped, but not quick enough. And it's a touchdown for Crawford, the freshman, with 1:23 to go in the third quarter. And it's now Allegheny 35, Kaiser 13.
Now back to Saturday Morning Quarterback here on WCBC.
And that was Roxione's great call from last night. We were very interested last night in the Mountain Ridge Northern game, and Garrett, through Mike Allen, kept us surprised. Mountain Ridge didn't lead till the end. They won 21-20 in overtime. And right now I feel a little bad for the Northern kicker who missed, but had Mountain Ridge lost, how bad would we feel for their kicker who missed a chip shot field goal, but then he drilled the extra point? And Rock, we can go back to 1948 and the 6-6 tie, and people still talk about missed extra points. So I'm glad.
We're doing Allegheny.
Yeah, I'm glad for Mountain Ridge's kicker that it turned out. Feel bad for Northern, but he'll have another chance.
Did anybody go for two in there?
No.
I wonder.
No, they both kicked.
Okay.
Yeah, so Rock, your thoughts about Mountain Ridge being Northern. That now puts Mountain Ridge sort of in the driver's seat to get to the number two seed in 1A and host a playoff game.
Well, if you look locally, both schools have given up a lot of yardage to their opponents, and both schools have given up and periodically have given up throughout the season a good many points. It's not a good year for Mountain Ridge. They'd be the first to tell you that. you know, all schools go through that except Fort Hill. And it's just one of those years for them. And they'll bounce back because, you know, Coach Shipe is an excellent head coach, and he's one of the things he was able to do was to pretty much keep that staff intact, which is Coach Patterson would always talk about how important his staff was to not only get improving kids play throughout the year, but also getting more kids to come out and play and be a part of the program.
All right, let's move to East World of Inquiry, which we're going to call East High during our broadcast today, just so you folks know.
I'm missing a chance to use the word inquiry.
Well,
of high school football game.
Say it all you want between now and 10, because
okay,
we're bagging it
banned from that, right?
at 2 p.m. So work it in. This is really another fascinating matchup, Mike. Team from Rochester, New York, north of Buffalo coming down here.
Well, like you pointed out earlier, Jim, with Melbourne coming here and then Wadsworth, you know, it's great to see these teams come in here, and it's going to be a perfect day for football. And with Fort Hill, you know, they're looking forward, you know, to getting that extra win because they got, of course, Smithsburg next week and then, you know, Allegheny. So it's going to be interesting to see what this team brings.
Glad you mentioned the weather, Mike. It's supposed to be a perfect day.
Oh,
we
beautiful.
Need to pack that place, fans. We need to get up there and really pack that place. Kind of Rochester, kind of a big city. Well, they're on their bouncing back. They're kind of a same version of Cumberland when it comes to economics and the loss of industry, but they're finding their way back into things. So get out there and support the Sentinels today.
Garrett, your thoughts about the big matchup kickoff at 3?
Well, according to my sources, meaning Mike Allen, on High School Game Day, they are sort of in the same vein as a Dunbar, meaning that they have a lot of athletes. They might not be as well organized as teams from around this area, but they have athletes. They're going to challenge you, and it's going to be up to Fort Hill to try and slow them down. The thing that stuck out to me, Mike said, watching some game film, and from what he hears about East High defensively, they only put 3 down linemen. Now, if you think of a wing T team like Fort Hill, who wins the game pretty much up front, if you're only putting 3 guys down against the Fort Hill offensive line, that's going to be a long day. So they are going to have to stack the box. We've seen at times Fort Hill struggle in the passing department. So if East High defensively, I would say that they want to try and slow down Fort Hill's rushing attack, which is no small ask, and kind of dare Fort Hill to maybe throw the ball. They might put 10 in the box, 8 in the box, and challenge Fort Hill to do something differently. Again, that's a tall order because Fort Hill traditionally is a run-first team, and they don't need to pass the ball how effective they are on the ground.
I wonder if East High's coach contacted the Briarwoods coach, who was caught off guard the first year he played Fort Hill and then was ready for the wing tee, because we don't see it that much anymore, Rock, and the formations and the motion pose problems.
It does, and it's hard to obviously replicate that in practice when your kids have never seen such a thing. Garrett's information is interesting. 3 down linemen says they must play a lot of teams that are similar to them, wide open offenses. Mm-hmm. They want to defend the pass and hopefully get pressure from 3 linemen. But if they've seen Fort Hill, then they obviously had to change things up defensively.
Sure.
This week. And that's a good point, Garrett, to see if defensively they're able to kind of reconfigure themselves to play a team that's going to try to run it right down your throat.
All right, and we'll have the pregame at 2 o'clock for you on the AM, kickoff at 3. And those are our friends from West Virginia calling us. Mike Conley, let's do that scoreboard one more time.
Okay, last night, Allegheny 49, Kaiser 14, Mountain Ridge in overtime, 21-20 over Northern, Hampshire 45, Berkeley Springs 7, Tucker County 62, Southern 12, Moorfield 33, East Hardy 7, and Petersburg 47, Greenbrier West 32.
All right, that's our scoreboard. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC. When we come back, we're going to talk to the FM crew about the big game, Frankfort at Williamstown. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC.
WCBC, Cumberland.
Sunny skies and a high of 73 degrees. WCBC. Clear skies tonight and a low of 37. Many political observers believe Maryland Governor Wes Moore has a bright future, and apparently Time magazine agrees. Time named Governor Moore one of its top 100 to watch for the next generation. In accepting the award in New York, Governor Moore discussed the inspiration of his grandfather.
He went to a historically black college and university, Lincoln University in Pennsylvania, and he became an ordained minister, just like his father. The thing that always hit me about my grandfather was this was a person who had a thick Jamaican accent his entire life. And he was maybe the most patriotic American I've ever met. He loved this country with everything in him.
Wes Moore will certainly climb the political ladder quite quickly should presidential candidate and Democrat Kamala Harris be elected as president in the November election. That's Newsbreak. I'm Chris Myers for WCBC News, always on AM 1270, FM 103.1, and streaming worldwide at WCBCRadio.com.
Lindy's Restaurant is offering a discount card for their home-cooked meals. Buy one dinner at regular price and get $2 off a second dinner. Perfect to give out to friends and family, and they don't expire until December 31st, 2025. Lindy's Restaurant, home-cooked meals for hometown comfort.
A caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole, and it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for mom and dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today,
301-777-8800.
Sunny skies today, high near 73 degrees. If you make your trip to Williamstown today, looking for a kickoff high temperature around 66 degrees with sunny skies. Clear skies tonight as you return back to the region, low near 37 degrees. Sunday, mostly sunny skies, high of 76 with clear skies overnight, low near 41.
Listen throughout the day for the latest forecast. Always at AM 1270, now at FM 103.1, and at WCBCRadio.com. Highlight from last night in high school sports here on WCBC. Now, back to Saturday morning quarterback.
And welcome back to Saturday morning quarterback. We talked about the Williamstown-Fort Hill game on the AM. Airtime is 2. And we're 2.5 hours on Classic Hits 107 from Airtime for Frankfort at Williamstown. Brad and Tony, where are you two guys right now?
We are on Route 50. I think we just went through Clarksburg, home of Jimbo Fisher. And we're careening through West Virginia. It's a beautiful fall morning. And, getting ready to head down there for this big game.
All right, Route 50. Let's see. So you got off 79 already. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Are you enjoying each other's company?
We are. It's been delightful.
At what time did you leave, guys?
We met at about 7:30, headed out probably about 7:40 or so, and on the way since then.
All right, very good. So, well, guys, give us your thoughts as we head into this big matchup between undefeated Frankfort and undefeated Williamstown.
I think this is Frankfort's first real test of the season, and I think it's an important measuring stick. I don't think they, you know, you want to win this game. It's not a must win, but they have to show up. It reminds me a little bit of the Commanders playing the Ravens last week. It was a team that came in and, you know, played well against a better team at home. This is a great team. They're back-to-back state champions. They haven't lost a game in a couple of years. They are, you know, they're going to have the size to take on Frankfort. They know what they've gotten into. The team that they beat, Marietta, they run a wing tee as well, so they've seen that. And I think it's a real test for Frankfort to be able to come, to be able to post and do try to execute what they want to do. I think they're going to have to throw the ball to be able to be successful to try to change some things up. But at the end of the day, I think you're going to get a real chance to see where Frankfort is in terms of the rest of the state.
Brad, you did some research on that Williamstown quarterback, and apparently that's somebody that we'll need to pay attention to today.
Yeah, Tony said, did you watch any? How much film did you watch on Williamstown? I said, well, I'm glad this game is here. I'm tired of watching film on Williamstown. They are a very, very, very good team. Well coached, well organized. They had a quarterback that led them to the 2 state championships. He was the most valuable player of each of the state championship games. He leaves. They bring in a new quarterback, Lincoln Joy, number 2.
and he is going to be a handful today for Frankfurt. He's kind of a combination or a little bit like the quarterback for Briar Woods in that he's a big kid, and they like to use him in the run game, but he can pass. And if they do not stop him today, it's going to be a long game for Frankfurt.
Guys, I was wondering, maybe Brad, since you've been with us on the AM quite a bit, maybe this is more for Tony, but is Frankfurt, are they totally healthy?
As far as I know, Patterson was down last week, but that was a coach's decision. That was not health. Corbin Stone's been out at the beginning of the season. He was back last week. I expect him to get into the mix, especially on defense. I don't think they have any glaring injuries, not from any of the kids that they expect to have production from.
Any sense of how many Frankfurt fans are following the team all that distance?
It's a team that normally travels pretty well. I wouldn't be surprised if the band wasn't with them as well. They normally do. It being a Saturday could upend that, but I would expect a pretty good contingent of Frankfurt fans. I know they traveled well when they went to Scott a couple of years ago and they went to Polka a couple of years before that. So I think you'll see a lot of Columbia Blue in the stands here at Williamstown.
I saw a photo on Facebook this morning. The kids loading on the bus, and it looked like the sun wasn't quite up yet. So I don't know what that means. And you always know when it goes up, when it comes up, and when
well,
it goes
the moon
down.
Was still up when they were getting on that bus. I can tell you that.
What time is the sun rising right now?
Boy, not till close to 7:30.
Okay.
Yeah. Garrett, you have something for the guys?
By the way, Tony, that's Frankfurt Blue. That's not Columbia Blue. I mean, come on now. Looking at the rankings of these two teams, Frankfurt 1, Williamstown 3, looking at the number 4 team, Independent Senior, they're a 4-2 team. So in terms of accountability or pressure, I don't feel like Tony said, I don't think there's a whole lot of it's not a game you have to have, because whoever loses this game, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of movement in terms of rankings. If Frankfurt were to win, obviously they'd stay at number 1. Let's just say that Frankfurt loses, Williamstown wins, Roane County.
They did win.
Who won as well. You might see Frankfurt drop to maybe 3, and then, Williamstown or Roane County elevate to 1-2. So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of shakeup in terms of rankings.
And if you finish, what, Garrett, in the top 8, you get a home game, right?
Correct, yes. So,
Go ahead.
Oh, I don't think I agree. I don't think the seeding will change much, and I don't really think that's what this is about, but win or lose, at the end of the year, Frankfurt's going to have – they're going to be in a situation where they're going to have to look inside of themselves and see if they can beat a better team. And how they perform today, I think, will be really important in terms of just that psyche. Like, they're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to have a couple – they're going to have at least one home playoff game no matter what. But at some point, you've got to beat a team that is as good or better than you, and this is an opportunity to at least – get a good chance to measure yourself against such a team.
Thank you. I was just going to use the term measuring stick. So you got it. Garrett, go ahead.
Just doing some quick math, looking at Williamstown's schedule, the teams that they have played, their records combined for 25 and 28. A couple of 5-2, 6-2, 6-3 teams, but 4 of the teams that they've played have losing records, and one of which is an 0-7 team. So definitely a big measuring stick game for Frankfurt, but I'm not so sure. Obviously, Williamstown, their quarterback, is very, very good, but it's going to be interesting to see how good Williamstown is based on who they've played and that unblemished record.
I'm going to be – Tony, it'd be interesting, you and Brad, keeping an eye out for Frankfurt and how they start, given this long bus trip and they having to get up early.
Well, the thing about Williamstown is that they already had a measuring stick game. They played Marietta. Marietta was a 5-1 team. They played Marietta, which is the equivalent of a 3A school, and they played them at Marietta, and they came back down 14 in the fourth quarter and won by 7.
Wow.
They have been tested this year,
so,
and they picked up 17 points by beating Marietta that night.
That speaks to the quarterback when you have a comeback like that. I will tell you this, and Garrett had this conversation last night, Rock and I did too, I think. Alex Richwalski from the paper, he thinks Frankfurt is way better than this team. So, and Alex is somebody who gets into research like you do, Brad. And so, I mean, we'll see. When you have two teams that, you don't know much about the one, we're just making educated guesses. So it'll all unfold at 1 o'clock.
Absolutely. I do think maybe on paper they're evenly matched. Worry about Frankfurt traveling. You know, Williamstown's been a 1A school for a long time. They're up to 2A now. So their schedule, I think, is still probably a little closer to what they were putting together for 1A. This is probably one of the best teams they've played in a while, this Frankfurt team. So I think there's a lot of anticipation on the Williamstown side as well, a chance to measure themselves against a team that's as good as Frankfurt is and as big and physical as they are.
All right. We're going to take a break now. You Frankfurt guys, when we come back, we're going to do our number, and we're going to do our booth review. No, I'm not interested in what score you think's fascinating. That part of the show is over. So you two can talk about it yourselves. And we're going to take a break. It's Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC.
A caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole, and it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for Mom and Dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
I'm in the Common Sense Common Ground middle.
That's Abram McLean Delaney, candidate for Congress. She'll work to lower taxes, strengthen the border, deliver on rural broadband, and fix our highways. Neil Parrott was ranked the least effective member of the Maryland legislature, voting to weaken domestic violence laws, impose total abortion bans, and even proposed cuts to Social Security. So extreme, Parrott won't get a single thing done.
I'm April McLean Delaney, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by April McLean Delaney for Congress.
This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on 1270 AM, 103.1 FM. Let's check what happened last night in high school sports.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Quarterback. Our wonderful engineer, Chris, has said, you know, we ought to film you guys. Now, the problem would be during the commercial breaks. Yeah, that'd be a problem. we're in here mocking one of our people who crosses out each day on the calendar, but again, we don't have time for that today.
No, we don't.
During the breaks.
I just want to make sure that Brad, he was probably up late last night celebrating his North Hagerstown Hubs got a win over Brunswick.
A big one there. All right, Brad, we'll let you give the first number of the evening, please.
All right, well, just because I'm driving doesn't mean I just have one.
Okay.
So I can hear Rock's eyes rolling right now as I'm driving all the way out here, but I have a couple, one of which is 3 hours. That's a three-hour trip out here for Frankfurt. The other, which is, I think it's 196 miles. That's a long time to be on a bus. And the final numbers I have is Frankfurt's margin of victory this year is, I think it's 45-9. That's not really being tested. All of those three things are going to play into this game today.
Very good. Yeah, I'm kind of bummed the only Frankfurt game I saw was that Moorfield game where they looked really pedestrian in the first half, but ever since the second half of the Moorfield game, they've taken off. Tony, what's your number?
The number I keep thinking about is zero, and it really has to do with one of the teams down here is going to come out and stay undefeated and stay with zero in the loss column. And I also keep honing in on that. Dry Cutter hasn't thrown an interception yet. He's thrown almost like 30 passes, which is a lot for a Frankfurt team. And I think that number has to stay true today as well. I don't think there's any room for error for Frankfurt to be able to come down here with the long trip and match up. So I'm just thinking zero in terms of turnovers for Frankfurt if they're going to be able to be successful.
I'm going to talk about that zero for a minute. When I think of 10-0 Frankfurt teams, unfortunately, I think about the team that didn't allow a point in 1990. Then they lost their first playoff game. So, yeah, I'm good with Frankfurt going in with one loss into the postseason, but that's just because of that memory. Certainly, we all hope they win today. Mike, what's your number?
My number's two. That's the number of completions Kaiser had last night for 20 yards, and also that's the number of interceptions Sebastian Stewart had from his cornerback position last night.
I like that, Rock.
I'm going to insert a decimal point. I hope that's okay with Brad. Allegheny last night, average rushing, 9.8 per carry. Mike, they used, what, five, six ball carriers?
Eight.
Eight ball carriers, and still ended up with that significant that's a lot of yardage, 9.8 per carry.
Maybe it was 9.8 ball carriers. Check that.
Yeah, well, I'll check that.
Yeah, that white kid is a little light.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I love that. I did that math, too. I did that this morning.
Man.
Yeah. It was amazing. Garrett, what do you have?
My number is 508, and that's the total number of yards on the ground for Allegheny last night. Multiple ball carriers. Jackson Resch over 200 yards. Four touchdowns for him. Keontae Bible, freshman, by the way, ran one, caught one. Aiden McKenzie just missed the 100-yard mark. Kane Williams, limited carries. He was a spark plug. Allegheny's offensive line, defensive line, and the rushing game are really firing all cylinders.
All right, and my number will deal with Jackson Resch. He's now up to 1,111 yards rushing on the season, 159 per game. So that's our segment on numbers. Now it's time for booth review, and let's return to the vehicle. Are you guys still on US 50?
We will be on US 50 for a little bit longer. That's correct.
All right, and then what's your next route number, Brad?
They haven't told us yet on the little screen here. Driving on 50.
How far away do you think you are?
Less than an hour.
Okay.
See, it tells you that on the screen. It's just you got to wait for the right time for them to tell you what your next route is.
Well, shouldn't Route 51 follow 50?
There you go. All right, Tony, give us your booth review, please.
You know, I'm thinking a lot about Kaiser. You know, they loom on the Frankfurt schedule. It's a big game for Frankfurt every year, but it's not. Things are not moving in the right direction at Kaiser. There was a reference to a tale of two cities. I think they have great expectations in Kaiser.
Great expectations.
Nice.
They're not bringing. I mean, you guys mentioned. There is talent in Kaiser. There has been for a long time. They're not getting the kids out to play. So I don't know if that's a change in the coaching staff. You have, but whatever it is, Kaiser has the ability to be a power and the ability to be competitive. And right now they're not moving in the direction they want to. So that's just what I'm looking at is what's going on with Kaiser football and what changes might be on the horizon.
Tony, that's a good point, and, you know, we talked about that earlier. They have a history of that in Kaiser where a coach will come and the numbers will go up and then they'll go down. It's not kind of like Allegheny and Fort Hill where they're always up, and they have these down periods. But, yeah, there's talent. Remember, folks, other high schools close like Piedmont, and Kaiser has all access to those kids. So, yeah, I think that's a great booth review. Brad, did you give yours yet?
No, I haven't.
Go
Mine's
ahead.
A little bit more pedestrian and doesn't involve great literary work. Mine involves Garrett Egan and his attire on the sidelines. Garrett, I am not wearing a short-sleeved shirt in the middle of winter to keep up with. That's never going to happen. I was dressed last night with a toboggan, a jacket, and it was still cold. And I looked down there. Garrett's got a short-sleeved shirt on trying to – I don't know whether he's intimidating the sidelines or what, but I got to hand it. It was cold last night.
Well, he and Mike Allen spent too much time together because years ago, it might have been the COVID year, and Mike did a game with us, and he forgot to bring a coat. And the way we did it that year is when Rock went there, Garrett did color from the field, and that's what Mike was to do because we like that field presence. And Mike asked me, well, can I hang out up here? I don't have a jacket. I said, no, you're going down. So Garrett and Mike have that in common. So I like that booth review. That's very good. Mike, what do you have?
I'm going to just go with Allegheny's game plan last night. And it's just one word three times, pound, pound, pound. With the eight running backs. And, of course, they only threw the ball once. That was for a touchdown. So just very impressed with Allegheny's game plan.
All right, Rock?
Well, to that point, I don't know if it's a booth review. But first half, they were facing a fourth and goal. Is that my right, Garrett?
Mm-hmm. Fourth
about
and goal
nine?
From the six.
Yeah. From the six?
Yeah.
They go running up the middle with Jackson Resch, fourth and six, and he goes in standing up for the touchdown. So I don't know if that's my – I think my real booth review is get out and support Fort Hill today. Like Mike said earlier, it's going to be a beautiful day. Fill those stands and root on the Big Red.
Buy popcorn. The soda's great. From the tap. It's not a bottled one. It's, mix it with the carbonation. They got the pizza. What else would you want to do today?
I tell you, that's the place to be.
If I wasn't broadcast, I'd be sitting in the stands with Kathleen watching that game.
Yeah, me too.
It's just –
just out of curiosity and being a nice day, don't want to be out.
She and I stopped by the same and watched a Mountain Ridge Fort Hill JV game for a half a couple weeks ago. And it's just great sitting in the stadium.
It is.
So
yeah.
Why not do that? Rock, my booth review was Allegheny and what they view as a good play. So, you know, you're thinking fourth and goal from the six. Well, counter crisscross. Maybe we'll go wide. Maybe we'll have an option. No, it's going to be a dive off right tackle. But it worked.
You called it a plunge.
It was a plunge. Brad, you were there, right?
Yes. Yeah. And they just know what they can do, and they do it.
Yeah. They impose their will. I just got to kick it. In retrospect, you know, if you could accomplish it, then it's a great call. So I got a kick out of that play, too.
Yeah, it's fun.
I really did. I think Resch was kind of lined up a little bit to the right of the quarterback, so it was just a straight-ahead plunge behind the right tackle. And,
yep.
All right, Garrett, your booth review.
Well, I have two because Brad took one of mine. But yesterday, in getting ready for the game and to meet you guys, I said, well, I'll bring a heavier jacket, like a coat, long coat, and I'll bring like kind of an airy windbreaker. I put them both in my back seat, laid them flat, because you know you don't want to crease anything, Rock. You understand.
Yeah, and you're on the field. Everybody
and,
can see you.
So I pull up to our meeting place, and I grab my back satchel and my jug of water, and I get out. And halfway to Kaiser, I remember that my coats are in the back seat of my car, which I'm not in. So, folks, if you're going to games, it is getting chilly, as they say in Allegheny County. Not chilly. Chilly. Bring jackets, bring coats, bundle up out there. It wasn't too terrible. I'm glad that wasn't like a December or late November game. My second booth review, you guys mentioned going to the games. From what I understand, the visitor's side concession stand at Fort Hill today will not be open because of low numbers in volunteers. I saw that on Facebook and the F Club Facebook this week. So hopefully they were able to get that taken care of. But just a game plan to get that stadium pizza, which I plan to do today, you may have to walk an extra 100 yards and go over to the home side. Hopefully they button it up. Band Parents has always treated us really, really well, but their volunteer numbers might be low, and they might be buttoned up today.
That is interesting, but it's if accurate, and Facebook, it has to be accurate.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, that is a trend in our country, is fewer people volunteer.
Oh, it really is. Tony and Brad, we have a few minutes left. We don't need any more commercial breaks. Any other thoughts about the high school football world? In fact, I'll let you guys go after this, so why don't you give us any final thoughts that you have?
Well, I had a question about last night because I was listening to you guys for most of the game, and it seemed like a lot of penalties. It hadn't come up. It didn't seem like it affected the outcome, but I was just curious on your take on the number of penalties and where they seem to be coming from and you know, just what you thought about that.
Well, it wasn't as annoying as that umpire that threw four holds against Mountain Ridge in the Allegheny game. But, I mean, I thought the game was pretty well officiated. Gary, you're down the field. You have a better sense.
Yeah, I felt that the one Kaiser drive that went deep into Allegheny's territory, I forget what quarter that was, two were based on, I think, two 15-yarders, both of which were questionable. One was... they called a 15-yarder a little bit too much celebration. And honestly, guys, up until that point, there had been a lot more celebrating than the one that they threw a flag on. Then there was kind of a questionable pass interference call. Tony, to your question, it didn't seem as bad. I mean, on paper, looking at the numbers, Mike, it was 81.
81 for Allegheny, 45 for Kaiser.
Yeah, Tony, I would say maybe two of those were questionable, maybe three.
Okay.
So it wasn't as bad as what maybe it sounded like or what it looked like today on paper.
Well, one of the things I think happens as a fan, when you see a really great run by somebody, a great completion, and then you see a flag like 50 yards away, It really disappoints you. It kind of deflates you. And you think, well, gee, that really wasn't part of the action. But on the other hand, I guess they would argue if an infraction is an infraction.
And that happened in the Jets game. They scored what they thought was a go-ahead touchdown against the Bills last week, giving a 27-20 lead. And there was a hold real late, almost maybe when the Jet running back got in the end zone. So it was sort of like what we saw last night. Brad, any final thoughts from you as you head on Route 50 and whatever the computer tells you to do next?
No, it's just going to be a great game out here. And you think about it, we have two great games potentially. So whatever you're doing out there, everybody, turn your radio up, listen to one of the great games. It's just a privilege to be out here doing this one for y'all.
It is a privilege, and we treat it that way. And, hey, guys, we're really glad you called in. Have fun, and we'll be listening, and go Falcons.
Take care, guys. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. All right, the FM crew on their way.
And just to the referees' credit, last night there was, I think, a big Allegheny run that there was a hold right in front of me, and that was called correctly. And, of course, like you said, when you're a fan, you don't expect there to be a penalty. I think the referee crew did do a good job in talking to those guys before the game. It's hard to get guys out to officiate, and from what I understand, the basketball season is going to be tough as well to get officials out. Soccer, I think there's been a couple rescheduled games or canceled games due to lack of officials. Things moved around. There was a couple games earlier in the season that had to be moved to Thursday.
Yep.
One of which was an Allegheny game because of a lack of officials. So that's another trend.
And the pay is decent
to
officiate.
It is. Yeah, I used to do basketball. It wasn't bad.
I'm guessing for basketball and football, it's probably between $70 and $100 these days. Garrett, do you have any idea about that?
I just remember whenever I was a basketball official, I think JV games was $45. Now, with inflation, that's definitely obviously way higher. The money's not bad. It's just, I mean, you're just a target out there to get yelled at, and you kind of weigh the options. Do I want to do I want to spend, you know, a couple hours, get yelled at, and deal with that?
It's such a great way to stay involved with sports. I was saying about that 1948 tie today with these missed extra points. And, Rock, you want to remind everybody who the quarterback was for the Fort Hill Sentinels in the 1948 game, a guy we
– Ronnie Cage.
Ronnie Cage. What did he do forever? Refereed basketball.
Yeah, he was a really good guy.
Junior Eversole, athlete at Allegheny High School, refereed for decades.
I wonder if – you know, we kind of repeat things we hear a lot. Is it really the criticism they take, or is it part of this broader trend that we know is accurate, and everything from PTA to the Rotary Club or whatever, people don't volunteer as much.
No.
And in this case, as you point out, Garrett, it's not volunteering. The pay is actually pretty good. But is it time constraints? Is it a perception that I don't have the time? I don't know. But, boy, down the road, if that trend doesn't end, man, you could see a lot of changes in high school sports.
I think it's both. I think it's lack of community and civic involvement, and I think it's also, you know, not wanting to get yelled at. One of the best things doing basketball that I ever did was get involved in refereeing, because you actually learn the game. You learn the rules, and you think back to when, you know, you're in high school and there's a big basketball game and you're screaming your head off at the officials, that's a terrible call, and then you learn the rules and you realize that it wasn't, thinking back to these key moments.
Was there a lot of, in basketball, was there a lot of off-the-court preparation you had to do to be involved, to get certified?
Yeah, there was George Getz, local interpreter. You took, you know, classes, you got together, and then, you know, you got on the court with Joe Wolf, absolute legend, and you learned the game, and then, you know, you worked your way up doing Tri-County games. So,
the Sunday middle school games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three games in a row. Those are tough. You cut your teeth and you earn your stripes in those.
Yeah, that's really true. And we have such a great Saturday, and we had fun today. This was a good show. And we enjoy you listening. Thanks to the callers. And don't be afraid to call. We love hearing from you. So ask questions and give your comments. So noon on Classic Hits 107, Frankfort at Williamstown. 2 p.m., 1270 WCBC. Fort Hill hosting East World of Inquiry. Go outside, take your radio with you, enjoy the weather, and as Rock said, come on up to the stadium if you can. You can listen to the Frankfort game while you're there. That's going to do it for Brad Reed, Tony Orndorff, Garrett Egan, Mike Conley, Rock Cione, and Chris Myers. This is Jim Zamias for WCBC Radio Sports.
This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC and brought to you by the Kensington Assisted Living on Baltimore Street in Cumberland and the Country House, specializing in Alzheimer's care on Cumberland Street in downtown Cumberland. Saturday Morning Quarterback hosts are Rock Cione and Dr. Jim Zamias, and the WCBC sports team with lots of information about the week in sports.